Geddy Lee, not dead.
Not dead, though.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. We want to start with Jimmy by saying Geddy Lee is not dead.
He'd be Deddy Lee.
Good morning, Jimmy.
Did somebody say he was dead?
No.
Yes, there was a trend on Twitter. People thought he was dead.
Right. He's dead.
Yeah. His name was trending on Twitter, and people see a rock star's name trending nowadays, and they're like, uh-oh, this can't mean anything good.
It could be he has maybe a solo album coming out or something?
Nope. It was nothing like that.
Just thought, you know, Geddy Lee sings almost.
So the Blue Jays are playing their home games in Buffalo, and they've been putting some cardboard cutouts in the stands, and he was right behind home plate at one of their games.
Nice.
So he was trending on Twitter for that. So he's alive. He even tweeted to say, yeah, I'm still around, guys.
Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox on the show now. Live Nation Concert God Jimmy Copley. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
The governor said phase three not going to happen. You already knew that.
I pretty well predicted it. That's why I never really, you know, I guess I sort of, you know, I have to say politically I sort of agree with him, even though it kills my business. Hmm. But it's disappointing. But, you know, we're trying to, now that everybody's going back to school, right. I think the lower you keep your rate, the better off you are.
Yeah. We're going to get a spike just with people being back to school.
Yeah.
So.
Right. And to Why start opening crazy? Up the bars, it's to start opening up concerts that are bigger than, I think, 500. I don't even know what the limit is right now on concerts offhand.
Yeah. You hear 500, you're like, yeah, I'm out.
Yeah.
I don't work at that level. So,
it's a small gathering his house, yeah.
You know, so, you know, I guess he's playing it safe. We'll know better as time goes on, but... I can't argue with it. He's done a heck of a job everywhere. No matter what side of the aisle you're on, you're pretty safe if you live in Connecticut.
Right. We're not on anyone's naughty list.
Naughty.
All right, let's ask.
No. And, you got to give the governor credit. You know, whether you're Republican, Democrat, or independent, you guys say, hey, you know what? We're living in a safe state. He played it really safe, and it worked.
Let's ask you about that sign. We had folks, members of the tribe calling last week. Someone suggested a cool thing for the amphitheater would be that guitar man, that giant metal guy playing a guitar that sat on the roof of the New Haven Coliseum for so many shows. And if it wasn't for Jimmy Koplik, that guy would have never been on the building to begin with.
Yeah.
Jimmy really represented concerts at the New Haven Coliseum. So he called up, said, hey, that metal sign is in Hamden. And then somebody called and said, that's my metal sign. And then we got the number. We gave it to Jimmy. And give us a progress report on that.
We've made a lot of progress so far. We've been talking to Clark about, you know, how much money he wants, which we understand. That's perfectly legitimate.
He paid $175 for it.
How much?
$175.
Well, I if he sells it to us for $175, it's a deal. So we're going to.
He said the work was taking it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, the expense part is taking it down and putting it back up. Plus, it was neon lit at one point, and we just don't want to put it up not neon lit. So we're now pricing out what it would cost to take it down, what it would cost to ship it down to Bridgeport, put it back up, and also infuse it with neon lights and really make it something special.
Yeah. Awesome.
Showcase it.
Wow.
So, we're working on that, and we'll know more as the week goes on.
Now, Howard you two guys together, it's like the dynamic duo.
It's true.
Have you guys discussed a place where it would go?
Yes. And I have to give a lot of credit to Howard. He is dynamic, and he jumped right on it. He loved the idea. And when Ashley sent me the tape of our discussion, I sent it up to Howard. He was in Vermont for the weekend at his home, other home. And he got very excited about it. And we're talking about putting it right over the box office.
Wow.
So anybody that comes to buy tickets will be right above the box office.
That's beautiful.
We have a great spot for it.
Oh, man.
That's beautiful.
It's a real piece of Connecticut history. That's awesome. Yeah.
In fact, when you guys come down, I'll show it to you. Show you the spot we're planning to put it at.
Cool. Oh, really? Yeah, we're going to have lunch with Jimmy on Monday.
Monday.
And I believe Jimmy and Howard will give us a tour.
Nice.
Yes.
And then show us a couple of chicken parm sandwiches. That'll be part of the tour.
Right.
That's the most important part.
Exactly.
What
right.
you guys want to eat.
Right.
But Jimmy texted chicken parm sandwiches, okay. And I thought these have to be great chicken parm sandwiches.
Exactly.
Because Jimmy's not saying, what do you want to eat?
He's saying,
would you like these?
Right.
I'm like, okay.
Do you like them, Jimmy?
Yeah, I like them a lot. I like them a lot. Howard gets them from a great Italian place. It's really really special.
Yep, definitely.
And two Jews know how to eat Italian food, let me tell you.
I didn't want to say, but okay.
Got it for a bargain.
Yeah, you'll see. I'll introduce you where they're sitting next year at those seats.
All right. We're going to play a game that Jimmy loves. This is you call in the concert that you went to in Connecticut. And we'll see what Jimmy remembers from the concert or the artist. 1-877-764-2535, or you could text in 203-882-9757. This is very interesting. Let's start here. Johnny Tree.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Johnny Tree.
Jimmy.
Good morning.
And thank you. First, I want to say thank you, Jimmy, for holding for what you do. All the concerts throughout my lifetime so far have been freaking awesome, and I want to say thank you. And
well,
I want to apologize because I was part of the Rage Against the Machine fiasco with in Hartford back in with 96 or whatever it was.
Get him! Get him, Jimmy! Get him!
It was 97.
It was interesting.
Not that I remember.
Yeah. Crystal clear on this one.
Right. Yeah. Not that I remember, but it was August 18th.
What time, Jimmy?
It was dark.
From my perspective, it was very interesting. It was fun as hell. But anyways, hey, I went to go see when the band The Firm back, I think it was 86, 87, somewhere right around there. And it was the first time I went to a concert, and they had a big net around the entire stadium, the entire stage. Do you remember that?
Well, I remember the show really well. It was actually in the Coliseum. It was in 86, March 22nd. The opening act was a band called Virginia Woolf. And I remember it because Jimmy Page was totally screwed up that night.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe the guy could even get on stage. And I had him the next night in Springfield, so I was already telling Shelley, I said, if he can make it like this through a show, he'll never make it two nights in a row through a show. Obviously, he made it through. If I remember correctly, Paul Rogers was the lead singer, I think, of the band. But I don't remember Annette. Annette was over the stage?
Yeah, it was like encompassing the whole stage. Like they're afraid people were going to throw stuff up there or something.
A really buggy night.
You know, it probably was the way they set the stage up and to look, because the only time we were always afraid of things being thrown on the stage were around July 4th, because people would throw firecrackers at the stage.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've been to many concerts where I've seen that happen.
Not a fan of those people. I don't know if you're out there.
No.
That'd be cool.
This being in March, I would think it was just something that they decided the stage would look cool with netting around it. I don't think it was anything particularly more than that.
Well, thank you, Johnny.
Well, the ceiling was falling.
Right. See, now the New Haven Coliseum in the later years, that would make sense.
Right. A big chunk just fell.
Judging by what Jimmy said, maybe the net was there to catch Jimmy if he fell off the stage. Jimmy Page.
Right.
You know, we used to have a leak on the stage of the New Haven Coliseum that would leak right on the drum kit of the drummer if we set the drum kit up somewhere.
Oh.
So when we set up the stage, we would let it leak if it was raining, and then we'd put something, a bucket there, so the drummer would be a little off kilter. Nobody ever knew it in the audience, but the drummer sometimes would be a little too much to the right or the left compared to what they normally be, because we'd have a leak coming through the roof.
Right. What's that song, that sound during the song? Bleep, 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 bleep. It's like a metronome. Drummer plays to it.
Shock hazard.
Yep.
Jimmy Kopligson, you call in a concert that you went to, and Jimmy will tell you what he remembers from it. Alan in Fairfield.
All right, first things first. Ozzfest, when the grass got ripped up, that was the band that was on stage was Drowning Pool playing the cover of Creeping Death by Metallica. The last time you guys talked about this, they said the wrong band.
Oh.
Yes, I think I might have said Judas Priest was on stage.
Correct.
But I don't remember.
It was Drowning Pool.
Tony Grass.
And second of all, where are the chicken parm sandwiches from?
Yep.
Where's what?
Where are the chicken parm sandwiches from?
Gaetano's.
Oh.
We've had them on.
Gaetano's.
Is that Santa Claus?
No, Gaetano's. I actually was going to say Massimo's, but I was wrong. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. Wow, that sounds... Just the name suggests good chicken parm.
We've spoken to them. They make, like, the most awesome sandwiches.
Yeah, they were ranked best sandwich in Connecticut or something like that, I think.
Right.
Hey, I'm willing to try food from anywhere.
Well, let's go with the best sandwiches in Connecticut. That sounds tremendous.
Works for me.
Let's go over here. Hold on. Right here. David Meriden.
Yes, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
One of the best shows I've ever gone to, one of the loudest ones, was Mata Hoople and Queen at the Palace Theater in Waterbury. Queen was the warm-up band. They had just come out with Queen 2. Mata Hoople was peaking. It was one of those bands that hit the top and dropped very quickly. But Queen was the warm-up band at that show. Remember it?
Yes, and Queen blew them off the stage. And if I remember correctly, it was the first time they... I might get this wrong, but I think it was the first time they played We Are the Champions, although I don't think it had come out yet.
Wow.
But yeah, Queen blew them off the stage. You're right. Mata Hoople was on the way down, and Queen was on the way up, and I've seen that happen a number of times, and that was one of those times.
Can you imagine seeing Queen
as the warm-up band
in Waterbury at the Palace Theater? What does that hold, Jimmy? How many people?
3,500.
Intimate gathering.
Wow, that's just
awesome
nuts.
Show. Yep. Awesome show.
We saw history.
We've seen Queen probably three times.
All right.
Well, you're very lucky because they are great. And I'll tell you, the Queen of now is pretty good right now, too, even though Freddie's not in the band, obviously.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They've done a great job keeping
Thanks
that alive.
Thanks a lot, fellas.
Thank you, Dave. I love this segment. Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation Concert God on the show, and you call in a concert you went to in Connecticut, and we find out what Jimmy remembers of it. Ralph in Waterbury.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How you doing today?
Hey,
good,
Ralph.
Thank you.
Jimmy, I was at a concert at the Waterbury Palace Theater. I believe you could catch me on the year. It might have been 1975. Kiss at the Palace, where a water main broke upstairs and they had to evacuate the building.
Yes. Yes. That was a mess. And, it was something. It was a first for me because I've had a lot of things happen at the show, but a water main did break upstairs. You're absolutely right, and water came pouring down the steps of the palace. And if people remember the palace, it had this beautiful area in the lobby where you walked up these gorgeous steps.
So beautiful,
to the waterfall. Upstairs, and it was a mess.
It was a wet kiss.
I wonder if you remember who the opening act was.
Submarine.
Wow.
The Plumbers.
The guys were just talking about them. It was Rush.
Oh.
Was it really?
Right. They really rushed. It was raining.
And I don't remember that.
Right.
It was December of 1975, and Rush was the opening act.
Wow. Ralph, thank you, man. Even Ralph's blown away.
Yeah.
Dude.
Whoa.
You know what's funny? Ralph was there.
Right.
He's like, wow, it was Rush.
Flashback. Whoa. Dude.
Yeah. Oh, man. Jimmy, this is the stuff of movies. Rush and Kiss.
Do they have waterproof makeup?
A 3,500-seat venue in 1975.
Yeah.
They
were singing, mop up. Everybody's going to.
Can you imagine the electricity problem if that happened while Kiss was on?
Right.
Did Kiss travel with that big show, the stage
stuff? Yes, they did. And I have to tell you, what's funny is the people who own the theater, the Temporale family, which we spoke to one of the children a couple of weeks ago on the show, they were in the plumbing business.
Oh.
So they knew how to take care of this stuff.
We'll fix it right away.
It's like the cabinet makers don't have good cabinets because they're busy doing other cabinets.
Exactly. Unless they have to.
The plumbing people have bad plumbing.
Right. All right, who flushed the toilet?
I'm not sure Ralph was fully there, though, if he didn't remember Rush was the opening act. I just want to say that.
Right.
It was the 70s.
These things happen. These things happen.
Whoa!
Dude. Yep.
Yeah.
Orange Sunshine.
That would leave an imprint in your brain, that three-piece band smoke show.
And water.
Yeah, I always marveled at three-piece bands that sound like 10-piece bands.
Right.
And Cream was one of them, and certainly Rush was one of them. And ZZ Top is one of them.
Yeah,
They're three-piece bands I always think are missing an instrument. But when they get on stage, you don't feel they're missing an instrument, and they all become big because they're so good.
Let's check in with Bob in Canton. Hey, Bob.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, good, Bob.
Thank you.
Hello, Jimmy. My question is more of a comment, I guess you'd say, but I guess not. But in any case, my very first concert I ever saw was Eric Clapton at Hill Coliseum back in, I think, so.
Hey, man, I'm having a hard time hearing you, so it's mouthpiece or off the speaker, please.
Yeah, I am on mouthpiece. Let me get out of the car.
Yeah, you just got to talk into the phone.
Stay right there.
Okay. I saw Eric Clapton at the New Haven Coliseum, my first concert ever, and the band that opened for them was the Jimmy Castor Bunch, which I think the only hit they ever had was Birth of Butt. But I just wondered how these pairings happen, and, you know, why would they put Jimmy Castor Bunch with Clapton?
All right, great question.
That is a good question.
Thank you, Bob.
I had nothing to do with the opening act. I want you to know that. But back in the 70s and the 80s, there were times I was able to put the opening act. We once had Triumph at the Coliseum, and I was able to put Mountain on top, opening the show, which I thought was a good pairing. And but in most cases, the artist who's headlining chooses the opening act. And they want to make sure the music is right for them. Now, Eric Clapton, being the broad artist that he is, loves blues, and Jimmy Castor Bunch is more of a, I don't know what you would call them. They're not really blues. They're sort of, they had that one hit. They were like an amalgamation of a bunch of different styles. Sometimes, in all honesty, the artist doesn't give a damn who the opening act is as far as the audience is concerned. It's who they like. And I've had artist discussions with people. I've talked to Dave Matthews about it and other friends that I have, and saying, why don't you put somebody on that not only people like, but will draw people. And I had that discussion with Tom Petty once, and the next year he put the Allman Brothers Band in front. And I go to Tom afterwards, and I had a show that year, and I said, just tell me, is it because of our discussion last year? He goes, I took it into account. I want to not only have an artist that I like and I think the audience will like, but that will sell more tickets so more people see me. And I remember the discussion, and it all came from actually our box office manager, Laura Lynch, who came up with the idea of putting the Allman Brothers on. And that night they knew it was Laura that did it. Tom Petty gave Laura a $10,000 check.
What?
Hey. Oh my God.
Yep. She might be listening.
What was your reaction to that?
I was very happy about it.
No, I thought you'd say, where's my $10,000?
Exactly, where's my cut?
I made way more than $10,000 on that show. Well, Live Nation did. Oh, okay, it wasn't me, but it's Live Nation. But
Holy cow.
It was very cool. Tom came, gave her the check, and said, I've made a lot of money on this tour because of putting the Allman Brothers on. Because he sold so many tickets. It was an amazing package.
Wow.
And they handed her a $10,000 check.
Do you feel obligated to say, no, that's okay, you keep it?
No, you don't.
You just take
it
and run.
No,
you grab it and run.
No.
No, and I got in trouble because I wrote the check out of Live Nation's account, and we took it off what we paid Tom Petty, and I never took taxes out.
Oops.
So, and as Laura remembers, we went through this whole hassle of then having to take taxes out of her paycheck going forward in order to take the proper taxes out. I got heat from corporate. How can you write a check to an employee? And I explained, well, it was just taken out of Tom Petty's pay, and I gave it to her. But, you know, that's one of the good stories you hear about good people rewarding people for good ideas.
That is awesome.
She got $8 after taxes. This is Connecticut. I owe you people!
Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation concert got on. We have a lot on the phone here for you coming up. Okay, this could be the weirdest call Jimmy Coplick's ever taken on the show. Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation concert got is on the show. If you do not follow that Facebook page, Jim Coplick Presents Archives, you are crazy.
Smell it, show.
Crazy.
It's a living, breathing, electronic museum to all things Connecticut concerts. Backstage passes, ticket stubs, memories, pictures, you name it. If you love concerts, you must Follow that page.
Do it, do it.
Let's go to Alicia in Brantford. Alicia?
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hi. I saw Ozzy Osbourne, maybe was 85, 86 maybe, in New Haven Coliseum. And he sent out like five or six puppies into the audience and told me he wouldn't go and play until the puppies came back dead. And I know because the girl next to me took one, put it in her purse, and ran out.
Someone stole the puppy?
85 or 86. I'm just going to recap because your phone's a little sketchy. 85 or 86, New Haven Coliseum, Ozzy Osbourne comes out and throws puppies into the audience and says...
Yes, he said...
Okay, and I will not perform until these puppies come back dead.
Correct.
Okay. Well, did you smoke or take anything before you went in?
Did anybody else see this too?
No. Did anybody else see it, you said?
All right. Let me ask Jimmy about this. Jimmy?
I am one of the biggest dog lovers in the whole world, as my friends know. There is no chance that I would have partaken in anything like that. I don't remember that. I remember the show, and I don't know if you remember who the opening act was. I do. But it was 1986, April 24th. It was right around the bat thing, you know, that he bit the head off a bat in a meeting. But I don't remember the puppy thing going on. No, I do not know that. If it happened, it was done without my knowledge.
Well, I'm sure you wouldn't condone it, nor, you know.
No, I would have done what your girlfriend did. I would have put it in my pocketbook. Man bag.
Right. A purse.
I'd put my front pocket if I had to.
There's the headline. Purse. Jimmy has a purse.
Right, man purse.
Well, in the 70s, I did have one. It's where I carried my stash.
Exactly, right.
That's all.
That's
but,
he needed, he needed a bag that big.
Right.
Now, let me ask you, I don't remember that story, but do you remember who the opening act was on that show?
That wasn't Dio. I'm trying to remember. I'm not certain.
Mouthpiece, Alicia, mouthpiece.
Hello?
Someday
hello?
We're all going to learn how to talk into a phone.
That'd be awesome.
All right, Alicia, we got to go.
Yes.
Okay. By the way, the opening act was Metallica.
What?
Damn.
Yes. Just thought I'd mention that.
If this thing with puppies happened, I can tell you that it would be an infamous concert, just like Tommy Lee falling off the rope and hitting the stage.
This would not be the first time we heard
about it.
This
would be one of the most infamous concerts in the history of Connecticut.
We would have heard about this.
That did not happen.
Yeah, maybe her 80s was my 70s, if you know what I mean.
Right.
I don't remember that happening, and I don't think that he would have gotten too far on the road if he did that every night.
No.
And I don't remember anybody traveling around with a kennel full of puppies.
Right. Did not happen.
I don't know. What did happen was Metallica opened that show.
That's pretty amazing. All right, Jimmy, thank you, brother. We really appreciate it.
You got it, guys.
We'll talk to you tomorrow on the anniversary of 9/11. Yep. We will see you Monday with Howard at the Bridgeport Amphitheater, and we'll talk to you next Thursday in this spot. Thank you, Jimmy.
You got it, guys.